Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're in 1 Nephi chapter 16. In the past several chapters, we've been seeing some pretty amazing visions and learning a lot about Jesus and salvation and the history of the world. We are now done with visions and we are getting back to the main storyline. It's been a while since we were looking at this storyline, so as a quick recap, we are following the movements of Lehi and his family. Lehi is a father. He lives in Jerusalem around 600 years before the birth of Christ. And he has these visions and learns that Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. God commands him to take his family and go into the wilderness. So he takes his wife and his four sons. They travel 3 days out into the wilderness and set up camp. And they've been in that camp this entire time. Twice in the time they've been there, Lehi has sent his sons back to Jerusalem. First to get the brass plates, which contained scriptures and genealogy. While his sons were there, they sort of inadvertently picked up another travel companion, a guy named Zoram. We're going to hear a little bit about him in this chapter. And then Lehi sent his sons back a second time to get Ishmael and his family. And Ishmael has sons and daughters about the same age as Lehi's sons, and they all come into the wilderness together. The other thing you need to remember is that Lehi's oldest two sons, Laman and Lemuel, are not on board with this trip. They don't believe in God. They are very angry a lot of the time, and they've already tried to kill Nephi twice. So with all of that as background, let's jump into verse 1. And now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had made an end of speaking to my brethren, behold, they said unto me, Thou hast declared unto us hard things, more than we are able to bear. So Nephi has just been telling them about his vision and helping them understand Lehi's vision, and they say, you've said some really hard stuff to us. Verse 2, And it came to pass that I said unto them that I knew I had spoken hard things against the wicked according to the truth. And the righteous have I justified, and testified that they should be lifted up at the last day. Wherefore the guilty taketh the truth to be hard, for it cutteth them to the very center. And now, my brethren, if ye were righteous and were willing to hearken to the truth and give heed unto it, that ye might walk uprightly before God, then ye would not murmur because of the truth, and say, Thou speakest hard things against us. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did exhort my brethren with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And it came to pass that they did humble themselves before the Lord, insomuch that I had joy and great hopes of them, that they would walk in the paths of righteousness. So Nephi is feeling pretty confident that Laman and Lemuel are going to stop being knuckleheads. Let's see if that pans out. Verse 6. Now all these things were said and done as my father dwelt in a tent in the valley which he called Lemuel. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, took one of the daughters of Ishmael the wife. And also my brethren took of the daughters of Ishmael the wife. And also Zoram took the eldest daughter of Ishmael the wife. And thus my father had fulfilled all the commandments of the Lord which had been given unto him. And also I, Nephi, had been blessed of the Lord exceedingly. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord spake unto my father by night, and commanded him that on the morrow he should take his journey into the wilderness. And it came to pass that as my father arose in the morning and went forth to the tent door, to his great astonishment he beheld upon the ground a round ball of curious workmanship, and it was of fine brass. And within the ball were two spindles, the one pointed the way whither we should go into the wilderness. So this ball, Nephi never gives it a name. We learn much, much later in the Book of Mormon that they called it Liahona. Nephi, for whatever reason, never gives us that name, but that's how I'm going to refer to this ball, because that's what it's called. So the Liahona is a round ball, and it has a couple of spindles, and one points the way they should go in the wilderness. It sounds very much like a compass, but as we go through this chapter, we're going to learn that it's much, much more than that. It sounds almost like some sort of GPS, which is certainly possible. God could make a GPS if he wants, but there are like words that appear on it, and it gives them directions, and it messages from God. It's a pretty cool little device they've got here. Verse 11, And it came to pass that we did gather together whatsoever things we should carry into the wilderness, and all the remainder of our provisions which the Lord had given unto us. And we did take seed of every kind that we might carry into the wilderness. And it came to pass that we did take our tents and depart into the wilderness across the river Laman. And it came to pass that we traveled for the space of 4 days, nearly a south-southeast direction, and we did pitch our tents again, and we did call the name of the place Shazer. And it came to pass that we did take our bows and our arrows and go forth into the wilderness to slay food for our families. And after we had slain food for our families, we did return again to our families in the wilderness to the place of Shazer. And we did go forth again in the wilderness, following the same direction, keeping in the most fertile parts of the wilderness, which were in the borders near the Red Sea. And it came to pass that we did travel for the space of many days, slaying food by the way with our bows and our arrows and our stones and our slings. And we did follow the directions of the ball, which led us in the more fertile parts of the wilderness. So the Liahona is guiding them to the places where there's food and stuff, and their journey's going pretty well. They are now moving, sounds like quite a lot, whereas they had camped for, we don't know how long, but several chapters anyway, 3 days outside of Jerusalem. Now their journey is really starting in earnest. Verse 17, and after we had traveled for the space of many days, we did pitch our tents for the space of a time, that we might again rest ourselves and obtain food for our families. And it came to pass that as I, Nephi, went forth to slay food, behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. And after I did break my bow, behold, my brethren were angry with me because of the loss of my bow, for we did obtain no food. And it came to pass that we did return without food to our families, and being much fatigued because of their journeying, they did suffer much for the want of food. So this is bad news. They've been surviving this portion of the journey on food that was slain using bows and arrows. And now Nephi's very nice bow, steel bow, I imagine compound bow, even though that's ridiculous, but a very nice steel bow is broken. So no more hunting by bow. And that's upsetting, understandably, for everyone. And surprisingly, Laman and Lemuel have been chief complainers on this journey. In this next verse, we're going to see the complaining, now that there's no food, extends far beyond them. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of their sufferings and afflictions in the wilderness. And also my father began to murmur against the Lord his God. Yea, and they were all exceedingly sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord. So Lehi, this great prophet, who has just had some fantastic visions, and who the Lord took out of Jerusalem so that he wouldn't have to be destroyed when the city got destroyed, he's even starting to complain, which is understandable, right? Like, I've been hungry before. When you don't have food, when you don't have a reliable food source, it's hard to be happy about anything. Verse 21, now it came to pass that I, Nephi, having been afflicted with my brethren because of loss of my bow, and their bows having lost their springs, it began to be exceedingly difficult, yea, insomuch that we could obtain no food. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did speak much unto my brethren, because they had hardened their hearts again, even unto complaining against the Lord their God. And so Nephi here, he was fairly recently, they've been traveling many days, but before they started traveling again, he had great hopes that his brethren were going to turn to the Lord. Now, this affliction here, this lack of food, they've hardened their hearts again. So Nephi is probably losing hope. And his father, too, is murmuring. It seems like maybe Nephi is the only person remembering the Lord here. Verse 23, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make out of wood a bow, and out of a straight stick an arrow. Wherefore I did arm myself with a bow and an arrow, with a sling and with stones. And I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? And it came to pass that he did inquire of the Lord, for they had humbled themselves because of my words. For I did say many things unto them in the energy of my soul. So Nephi, despite his hunger, has been teaching and preaching at the rest of the group, and has managed to get at least Lehi to humble himself, sounds like. And he says, Dad, where do I go for food? Like, he still recognizes Lehi as the leader here. And so Lehi is going to ask the Lord where to get food. Verse 25, and it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmuring against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down into the depths of sorrow. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written. And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly, and also my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and our wives. So I don't know what message appeared on the Liahona. God, I imagine, is a very good writer, and he said some pretty intense things on whatever space is allotted on this little compass GPS thing. So much so that everybody is fearing and trembling exceedingly. Verse 28, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball, that they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. And there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time, according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by small means the Lord can bring about great things. I would love to see this Liahona thing. It sounds pretty neat. Verse 30. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did go forth up into the top of the mountain according to the directions which were given upon the ball. And it came to pass that I did slay wild beasts, insomuch that I did obtain food for our families. And it came to pass that I did return to our tents, bearing the beasts which I had slain. And now when they beheld that I had obtained food, how great was their joy! And it came to pass that they did humble themselves before the Lord, and did give thanks unto him. Hooray, food! Verse 33. And it came to pass that we did again take our journey, traveling nearly the same course as in the beginning. After we had traveled for the space of many days, we did pitch our tents again, that we might tarry for the space of a time. Great, trouble's behind us now, right? Nephi has a new bow and some arrows, and we have food. Everything's good, right? Verse 34. And it came to pass that Ishmael died, and was buried in the place which was called Nahum. Uh-oh. Verse 35. And it came to pass that the daughters of Ishmael did mourn exceedingly because of the loss of their father, and because of their afflictions in the wilderness. And they did murmur against my father, because he had brought them out of the land of Jerusalem, saying, Our father is dead. Yea, and we have wandered much in the wilderness, and we have suffered much affliction, hunger, thirst, and fatigue. And after all these sufferings, we must perish in the wilderness with hunger. And thus they did murmur against my father, and also against me, and they were desirous to return again to Jerusalem. So we're having a bit of mutiny here, and again, I feel this is pretty understandable. We don't know how old Ishmael was. We don't know if this death was unexpected or not, but certainly it's sad to lose a parent, and especially when you're off wandering around in the wilderness and you've just nearly starved to death. These are hard times these people are facing. Verse 37. And Laman said unto Lemuel, and also unto the sons of Ishmael, Behold, let us slay our father, and also our brother Nephi, who has taken it upon him to be our ruler and our teacher, who are his elder brethren. Now he says that the Lord has talked with him, and also that angels have ministered unto him. But behold, we know that he lies unto us. And he tells us these things, and he worketh many things by his cunning arts, that he may deceive our eyes, thinking perhaps that he may lead us away into some strange wilderness. And after he has led us away, he has thought to make himself a king and a ruler over us, that he may do with us according to his will and pleasure. And after this manner did my brother Laman stir up their hearts to anger. Now this is kind of nuts, right? Like, okay, I get it, they're upset, and like, maybe mutiny and murder are the natural tendencies here, I don't know. But what's really crazy is Laman says, Nephi keeps talking about how he's seen angels and stuff, but we know he's lying to me, and that's crazy, because the first time Nephi and his brothers went back to Jerusalem to get the brass plates, they had to make several attempts, and they failed. And Laman started beating Nephi and his brother Sam, middle child, who we hear nothing about in this chapter. Happens a lot. Poor Sam. He's a good guy, though. Laman starts beating Nephi and Sam with a rod, and an angel comes and stops him and says, Stop beating your brothers with a rod and go get those plates. And so Laman himself has seen an angel, has been talked to by an angel, and here he's saying, Nephi's making up all this stuff about angels. So that's a little disconcerting. Verse 39, And it came to pass that the Lord was with us. Yea, even the voice of the Lord came and did speak many words unto them, and did chasten them exceedingly. And after they were chastened by the voice of the Lord, they did turn away their anger, and did repent of their sins, insomuch that the Lord did bless us again with food, that we did not perish. So, lots of stuff going on here. We have this Liahona, this compass thing, and there have been some messages on that that has made everybody shake in their boots. And now the voice of the Lord has come down, and like Laman and Lemuel have heard it and are chastened exceedingly again, insomuch that they repent of their sins. And so there's a lot of pretty direct chastening happening here, but we're going to see Laman and Lemuel, they never mend their ways. And as Nephi saw in his vision, his posterity and his brother's posterity are going to become warring nations. So that's the end of this chapter. In the next chapter, the next phase of the journey begins.